Does anybody remember the verse that I ended up with last week? I said to you, I challenged you, will you meditate on this? Will you read it? Will you think about it? Will you try to memorize it? Put you on the spot. Anybody memorize it? 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. And therefore you have overcome them. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. What have they overcome? They've overcome doing the things that are wrong that the world says is okay to do. We're already saved. And who's the one that's greater that's in you? Of course, it's Jesus. Who's the one in the world? Satan. All of his evil ways of convincing us to do things that God says not to do. And God wants to fill our lives. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes but to rob, to steal, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life abundantly. Following God's ways is not robbery. Satan will try to convince us that it robs us of the fullness of life to follow God because it's rules. It's not rules, it's loving Jesus and having a relationship with him and doing what's right and guarding ourselves from being compromised and convinced to do what's wrong. That's in spiritual battles, and that's in relationships and circumstances that we face in our lives. So we are of God and have overcome. Every challenge that faces us that's contrary to the way of God, we have already overcome in Christ Jesus. And you're saying, well, how can you say that, Pastor? I mean, I fall and sin frequently. Some days are better than others, right? But the overcoming part is this, that we have Jesus in our heart, right? We have Jesus in our heart. And so I want us to know that we are of God and have overcome. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world, that's in the world. And so we don't have to fear Satan's tactics. We just have to be wise as God's people. And we need to be willing to listen to God and do what's right and not compromise the things of God. People will manipulate the word of God to fit their fancy. You know what I'm saying? I want to do this, so let's try to figure out how I can piece the pieces of scripture together that will say it's okay for me to do. How can I misinterpret this so that it will make me feel better about doing what's wrong? Right? Right? Father, thank you for this time to be together. Father, for this message, I ask that you would just help us, Father, to hear what you have for us to receive. I pray you feed our souls. I pray that you help us, Father, to just walk away feeling blessed and encouraged and enlightened by you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We watched in the beginning of the Waymaker Club, told the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They knew the right thing to do. I love that story. I'm actually, it's kind of crazy, a little jealous of that story. And I said, well, you know, if I was on the front line like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, I would hope that I would have the courage to say, no, King Nebuchadnezzar, I'm not going to worship you, I'm going to worship my God. And no, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't care what the consequence is, you can go ahead and throw me in the furnace. And no, Nebuchadnezzar, I don't care what happens there either. If my God chooses to deliver me from the consequence of not worshiping you, then that's okay. And if my God chooses to deliver me, that's okay. Because I belong to God and I trust God in his perfect, holy will. And he loves me. You see, that's where we take a stand that has hard consequences and we don't compromise. And I love that. You know why I love the story the most? It's because when they were in the fire, Jesus was right there with them. The angel of the Lord is in reference to Jesus. He was right. I'd like to think of them just dancing, you know, doing whatever they can do, you know, and just dancing, going around the fire. The ropes they were tied with were gone. Their clothes didn't smell like smoke. The hair on their arms and legs, whatever, their beards and whatever, were not singed. They had a great time with Jesus in the furnace. And that's what we miss out on when we compromise. We miss out on having a great time with Jesus when we do what God wants us to do, even when the challenges are not what we want. When we're in the will of God, doing God's will, even in under extreme circumstances, there is that fellowship with Jesus. Do you know, the people that have been martyred for Jesus Christ, it said that some would be burned alive at the stake singing praises to God. Some were tied to a post in the river and at low tide, and as the tide came up to drown them, they were singing praises with great anticipation to see Jesus. Now, what's happened there? That's not their own natural way, is it? What happened was they didn't deny Jesus. What happened is that they were willing to take the, no pun intended, the heat. They were willing to face the consequence even of death. And in the midst of that, Jesus wrapped his arms around them and gave them such peace and joy that they praised God even in the face of death. And they knew they were going to enter into his presence. Praise God for that. You see, those are the things that are rich that you and I miss on. I'm not talking about the dying part. I mean, when we die and go to heaven, that's going to be great. But I'm talking about the part where Jesus says, that's my son, that's my daughter, that's my child that stood up for me and put themselves aside. That said, I will sacrifice all that I am for my Father in heaven. And God looks with great joy and he pours out his grace to enable us to endure the consequence for standing up for him. Standing up for him is easy when it's easy. Standing up for him when it's challenging and difficult is not. And so we need to make this type of choices to stand up and to trust in God. And I love that story because I'm jealous of that happy place in the midst of the fiery furnace that they had with Jesus. How wonderful. But no matter what, when you and I have taken a stand and we take the heat and we face the consequences for standing up for Jesus, the surrounding things around us are ugly and uncomfortable possibly. But right here in our own heart, in our own relationship with Jesus, there's rich blessing. We praise God about that. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, of course, they were Israelites. Those were their Babylonian names. And they were kings. They were slaves to King Nebi, or as we say in Waymaker Club, instead of saying Nebuchadnezzar, because it's too hard to say sometimes. But we're given a choice to bow down to everything else, which makes anything else an idol, if we bow down to it, instead of bowing down to God. We're given a choice to bow down to God and experience life and that freshness with God, or to bow down to anything that we put in our life, materially or personally, that becomes more important to us than God. And we lose out on those blessings and that intimacy that God wants us to experience in him. In Daniel 3:16 through 18, it says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. I mean, they were already resolved in their heart without question. We are going to commit to God. We have committed to God, and we are following through to our commitment on God to love him first. It was already done. Did you notice what they said in verse 17? Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. We can't force God's hand to take care of things the way we want. But we can trust God in them. And one way or another, he delivers us. If they died, they knew where they would go. At that time, they would go to Abraham's bosom, a great place to be. If we died, then we'd go to be with Jesus right now. If we're delivered, if we're facing those circumstances like those that were martyred that I mentioned before, they're delivered in the sense that the peace and the joy of God, a song in the heart, comes from the throne of grace. And their fellowship with Jesus is rich in the midst of it, just like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. They knew the concept that John taught us in 1 John 4:4. God is greater than he who is in the world. I have a question. Do you believe that God is greater than the enemy, Satan, who's in the world? Here we know it. Intellectually, we know it. But are we willing to acknowledge that when we face circumstances that challenge us? You're greater than this, God. You can deliver me from this situation. You are right there. You are my rock that I stand on. And I can trust you because you are God Almighty. God was greater than King Nebuchadnezzar or the fiery furnace or in other circumstances we might face. God is greater than times when we may lose our job, or we might face a threat in life or illness, or we might face mean people, or we might have kid problems. Whatever the case, God is able. And they understood who God was, and they could trust him. One of my favorite verses is in Ephesians 3:20 and 21. It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Not only is God able to do whatever needs to be done, but he is able to what? To do exceedingly, it's greatly, beyond comprehension, abundantly, above all that we ask or think. We have to believe, that is, we have to know, that is, we have to acknowledge that God is able to do anything he wants to in our circumstances in life. And if we have the heart that says, God, I love you no matter what, and my love for you is clearly identified by my heart that is right with you. Jesus said, if you love me, you do what I command you. Jesus said that. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's a testament of our commitment to God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego kept their commitment to God to love him. They loved him first of all. And God blessed them richly. You might be facing a fiery furnace today. I don't know in each of your lives what you might be facing. I know teachers are facing, you know, issues at you know, with COVID and with shots or no shots, or people are confused and all the different things that people are facing, all the different opinions, all the attitudes of approval and disapproval of where you stand, whatever the case is. But know that God is right there with you and can help you walk through that and will give you the grace that you need for whatever it is that you need to do. But make sure that what you choose to do is honoring to God in all things. And of course, it has nothing to do with I'm just saying all things seek to honor God. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego recognized that even death and eternity with God was better than life with disobedience to God. Can you identify with that? If your life is lived in disobedience to God, it's being robbed of the fullness of God that God wants you to have. I've come that you might have life abundantly. So the only way we can enjoy that abundant life, like walking with Jesus in the middle of a furnace, or whatever the case might be, or just simply knowing Jesus more deeply and more personally, is adding to our life, not taking away from our life. And God honored them for their faithfulness. God honor you for your faithfulness to God. God honor you for loving him first. God will honor you for seeking his will, not your own. God will honor you for saying, I'm going to be that living sacrifice. I'm going to die to myself, and I'm going to yield to God. God will honor you when you acknowledge that you've been bought with a price. You belong to him. That your life is no longer your own, but you have to choose whether you believe that or accept that in your life. Because that's the type of life that God wants all of us to live. A life that's surrendered to him, that loves him. Let's read a little further in Daniel 3, verses 24 through 25. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, "Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." "Look," he answered, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." Do your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, whomever that knows you, have they ever seen you in circumstances that they know must be horrible, must be difficult, must be challenging? And they're watching you and they see you have joy through the midst of it, because that's the furnace. And that's the furnace experience. Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego had joy with Jesus in the furnace. And so if people see us rejoicing in the midst of incredible circumstances, what they're seeing is, "I can't believe what I'm seeing." Like the king, there's a fourth person there. There's a fourth person with you. In that sense, there's God who is with you, and they see God in you, and they see your joy in God and God's joy in you, and they go, wow, how great is their God. Their faithfulness allowed them to experience God in a new way. That's what I'm talking about. Be faithful in everything and experience Jesus in new ways as we surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, which we're called to do in Romans 12, 1 and 2, where our minds are to be transformed into the thinking and the ways and priorities of God's thinking and priorities rather than our own or the ways of the world, and that we're to be transformed into His image, that is His character. God is with us in the midst of our trials. And their faithfulness not only allowed them to see God, to exceedingly abundantly more than they could ask or think, but it glorified God. Do you understand? They saw the wonder. Can you imagine what they were thinking? We're in this furnace. The two guards that threw us in before they even got close to the door dropped dead from the extreme heat, as the passage tells us. And Daniel 3. And yet here we are, we're in the furnace and we're alive and Jesus is right there with us. They experienced the wonder of Jesus, but God was glorified. God was magnified. I was telling someone this morning, I'm not sure I remember who it was, but I remember our talking. I talk a lot, you know that. And the point is that we lift up the cross of Jesus and it'll draw all men to God. But when we lift up Jesus, God is glorified. So when they lifted up their faith in God, He was glorified. When we live in a way that is right with God and Jesus is close to us and we're close to Him in that sense, that we have a close relationship is what I'm trying to say, then it glorifies God because people see the power of God working in our life in circumstances that people would generally not respond the way you're responding. That people would say, you shouldn't be joyful, you should be miserable. You shouldn't be at peace, you should be in agony. And no matter what it is, we can trust God and rely on Him. And when we do, we recognize Him with us, we have that joy, and God is glorified. And that's what happened in Daniel 3. In Ephesians 3:21, we had read, "To Him be glory in the church." "To Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." We want God glorified through the church, the body of believers, for all generations forever and ever. We are in eternity forward when we are made complete and perfect in Christ. We no longer have a sinful nature. We no longer contend with these mortal bodies, but we have new eternal bodies. And we're living with God without a sinful nature. The presence of God and His work in and through our lives will magnify and glorify the Father far greater than we ever can imagine. And He is pleased with that. His working in mighty ways is meant for His glory. It isn't meant solely for our benefit. We need to remember that. It's not about, I'm going to trust God so my needs are met. It's about, I'm going to trust God to meet my needs that he might be glorified through it. See, it's one more step. Not about me and God meeting what I need. It's about me trusting God to take care of me and through that, God being glorified. Because when God is glorified, he is pleased with that. In Daniel 3:28 and through 30, it says, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their own God." That's, boy, underline that and score that in your heart and your mind, that we've made a commitment. We will not worship anyone else except God. "Therefore, I make a decree that any people, nation, or language which speaks anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces." Yuck. "And their houses shall be made an ash heap, because there is no other God who can deliver like this." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar had a change of heart, didn't he? Because he saw the power of God and Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego's faith and trust in God. People will change their heart regarding their attitude toward God when they see you and I joyful in the midst of whatever comes our way. God will be glorified, and people will be touched by that, and God will use that to help plant the seeds, water the seeds, or even reap the harvest. Nebuchadnezzar saw the miracle. Wouldn't it be cool to have been there? It would have been terrifying, horrifying, but wowing, if that's a word, when we saw the victory. Whew, how awesome. King Nebuchadnezzar went from being self-absorbed, egotistical. Why would you say he's egotistical? Well, he made a 90-foot statue of himself for people to worship. I would think that would be a bit arrogant and egotistical. He went from being self-absorbed, egotistical, idol-worshiping man to one who put out an edict that blessed God. The more you and I make that type of commitment to live for God, no matter through the thick and thin of life, people will see God in us and they will be touched and God will be glorified, and it'll have an effect on our families and on our culture, and God will be glorified. These faithful men received the experience of being right there in fire with Jesus. And they were blessed physically with a promotion. Does that mean that every time we're faithful through trials, we got something better coming? I'm content with the better being just knowing Jesus better. But if God wants to add the cherry on the top, I'm for it. You know, if he wants to give that a blessing. But the truth is, the more that we grow in faith, the more God can use us for his glory. We have to be willing to grow in faith. And that starts with just keeping our heart in check with God and walking with him and loving him is what motivates us to keep in check. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's real life example demonstrates the point to us that not compromising and standing strong while remembering who God is. Let me read that. Not compromising and standing strong while remembering who God is will help us overcome any situation we might face. Like I've tried to explain to the kids, don't compromise. Don't use logic to do bad things. Don't let people convince you to do wrong, because we shouldn't do that. But instead of compromising, stand strong to do what's right. And that applies to you and I. Ask God for the grace to stand strong to do the things that are right. Remember who God is. He's God Almighty. And trust him to overcome any situation we might face. I think it might be safe, I'm assuming this, that most of us have faced situations in our life that we didn't know how we were going to get through it. But God was right there. And God's grace was there to carry us through. And we experienced God's grace as we trusted in him in faith. So, some questions. Are you willing to not compromise biblical values? Are you willing not to manipulate God's word to meet your own desires? Because really, when people do that, what they're doing is they're shaping God into the God they want him to be for them, which is idolatry. Are you willing not to compromise biblical values, your faith, God's standards, or his commands? Are you willing to trust that God is able to get you through your fiery furnace situation? In other words, are you willing to say, God, I trust you even when I don't understand? I trust you for who you are because you are Almighty God. I trust you because you are my Father, my Heavenly Father, and you love me with a love that cannot be measured and never will be. I will trust you, and I will trust you to carry me through whatever fire you have me go through. What does fire do usually to metal? It refines it, brings out the impurities. When we're under the heat, we see the true colors of who we are. That's okay, so long as we deal with the colors that we see with the right heart. God, I see these colors coming up out of this fiery furnace that reflect who I am and in my real character, and I don't like what I see. Praise God. It's an opportunity for us to say, God, I see that. I don't like it. I acknowledge that. Will you please take care of that and remove that out of my life, that I might be a vessel that you're pleased with in greater ways that you can use to lift up your son, Jesus, and to bring glory to your name. I want us all to stand. We did that last week. We all stood as I read 1 John 4:4, and I'm going to challenge you to take this seriously. I want you to write it on a post-it. Write it on a piece of paper. Take your lipstick. Write it on the mirror. I don't care. But write it down. Put it somewhere where you're going to just read it. Take 2 seconds to read it. Okay, I put it next to my coffee cup where I sip my coffee every morning. I drink a lot of coffee, so I read it a lot of times. Okay? And I want you to write down Ephesians 3:20, but I want us all to stand. Let's read it together. Please. You have to ask yourself if you believe this, then you got to live it if you do. Now to him, let's do it again. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Can we say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God has surprises for us. He reveals himself to us in his power and his love for us. So go home, focus on the verse, write it down. I'm serious. And don't miss church next week, because I'm going to ask who memorized it, because I know your phone number. Okay? So just focus on these things. I'm trying to encourage you to embed these things in your heart. Right? Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world, because you're a child of God. You have power. And God is able to do far greater than you could ever imagine in your life if we would simply trust him, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego did. Right? Remember, God is able. Just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here. I ask that they walk away with a blessing from you. I ask they walk away with an imprint in their spirit, that they would that all of us would walk away with a sense of humility and joy before you, that we will be at awe and say, you are my God, you are my Heavenly Father, you are the creator of heaven and earth, and I can call you Abba or Daddy, my Father in heaven. What a wonderful privilege it is to know you, and to know that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that your love is always, always around us and ready to be poured out on us more and more and more. So help us to be able to receive your blessings, Father, as we surrender our life to you and live for you, that we might find and discover the wonders of you in our life, and that you might use us in a way that brings you glory, Father, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen.